Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the Lord." Heavenly Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Teach us out of your word. And for those listening, whatever troubles they have, please speak to them. Please minister to them. Please help them. And deliver them out of whatever difficulty they find themselves in. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. In preparing for today's message, I took this chapter, chapter 19, knowing that I would study it, and read through it a couple of times, and then got my computer, or I guess you could use pen and paper if you wish, and I went verse by verse and outlined it. I look at the first couple of verses, and then verse 3, and then verse 4 through 6, and then 7 and 8, and I see logical divisions, and I outline the chapter, and it helps me to understand what God is saying. It helps me to see a logical flow. And many times I've brought to you the various study methods that I use. I've mentioned several times that I use Strong's Concordance. I also use a Greek text, Green's text, which is published by Hendrickson. Perhaps I might use Vine's Expository Dictionary. Perhaps I might use some commentary. But this method, to outline a chapter, is one of the things I use at times when I study. It's valuable, it's helpful, and it's, I believe, simple to do. You don't need to know Greek. You just need to take your time, read the chapter, and think about it, and then take your time and write down what you find. But let's go ahead and see what God has for us today. It says here in verse 1 and 2 that God called his people to leave Rephidim. Rephidim, if you remember, a few chapters back, is where God gave water to his people when they were thirsty. And God will satisfy. God will take care of us. God will give us provision. But God calls his people into the wilderness of Sinai. Sinai obviously is the mountain that Moses spent time on. Sinai in the next chapter we see is where God gives the law to his people. But it says in verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself." God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. That's called the Passover event, and we've studied these things extensively. And God is reminding the people of what he had done. You know, many times we go to church and the pastor will give some sermon. Perhaps it's on tithing. Perhaps it's on missionary work. Perhaps it's on who knows what. But then he'll give an altar call. And during his altar call, he'll remind the people of what Jesus had done. And he'll give the plan of salvation. And sometimes we think, well, I've heard this 100 times before. I'm a little tired of it. but it's necessary to be reminded of what God did for us. Because as we'll see when studying these historical books, Israel forgot again and again and again what God had done. So when you hear the gospel presented again, you should take a minute to thank God for what God did for you if you're a Christian. But he says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, they were destroyed, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God brings you to himself. He's a jealous God, it says in the next chapter. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be adored. He wants to be followed and obeyed. But it says that he brings us to himself. The point of church is not to see the choir robes. The point of church is not to see how the people are dressed and what kind of hats perhaps the ladies have or something like that. The point of church is to see God, to see Christ, and to hear about what God did for us, and to worship him. But he says in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the people is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And he says to Moses, "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. If you will obey," he says, and he says this again and again and again, "if you will obey." One of the great passages in the book of Deuteronomy, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. If you will obey." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, "My commandments are not grievous." But again, as we study the Old Testament, we find that the people said, "We'll obey," but then turned around and didn't. They disobeyed again and again and again. But he says, "If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For ye are a holy generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." He said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." God did a wonderful and marvelous thing for us when he saved us. It's a marvelous thing. It's a remarkable thing. It's the most important thing in the history of the world when God sent his own Son down to earth. Yes, he lived a perfect life. Yes, he said many wonderful things. Yes, he was a great man. Yes, he healed the sick. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But the most important thing, and the reason why Christ was born, was that he died for the sins of the world. He gave his life a ransom for many. And I'm thankful that he died for me. But he says he would make the Jews and also Christians that would come to salvation to be a peculiar people, different from everyone else in the world. Different. They kept the Sabbath. They kept the dietary laws that you can read about in the book of Leviticus. They did a number of things that were different from anyone else. A peculiar people. A people that stood out and were a witness to all the nations round about that God was with them. Just as we should be a witness to those that we come in contact with. You see, there isn't any other method of salvation, no other way to be saved except you come by Christ, the way of the cross. There are many religions in the world, there are many doctrines, many philosophies, but there's only one way to heaven, and that's by trusting in God's Son, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And that message makes us peculiar. All different cultures, pagan or otherwise, have their religion, have their philosophy, have their God. The only God that I know of that gave his Son a ransom is the God of the Bible. Gods generally are remembered for their greatness, for their goodness, for their victories, what have you, for the things that they have done. The God of the Bible is known that he sacrificed his Son for those that did not care about him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. It's a wonderful message, and it's a peculiar message. And he says that Israel would be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. It says here in verse 5. But in verse 6 it says, And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests. We know that God had separated the tribe of Levi to be priests and Levites. And they were special. They were set apart. The priests themselves set apart. They were the ones that could go into the holy place. No one else could. No other tribe, Benjamin could not, Reuben could not, Gad could not offer sacrifices in the temple. Only the Levites, priests and Levites, could do so. The priests offered the sacrifices, the Levites assisted. But he says, You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Every one a priest. How could that be? You see, God wants a relationship, not just with the nation of Israel, but with each individual Jewish person. God wanted a relationship with them. We can read about King David. When he was a boy tending sheep, he had a relationship with God. He would spend time worshiping God, writing songs to God, praising God, praying to God, and hearing God's voice. And that's good for the Jew, but we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant as Christians. And it's our responsibility to praise God for ourselves. It's our responsibility to worship God ourselves, to pray ourselves. When we get into trouble, to go to God for ourselves. Certainly, tell the people at church, hey, I have this trouble. Certainly, go down to the altar perhaps and tell the pastor, I've got this trouble, please pray for me. But you can go to God yourself. We'll see a few verses down in verse 9 that God set Moses above the people. But having said that, the people still have a responsibility to seek God for themselves. We saw last chapter that the people would bring their problems to Moses, and Moses would act as a judge, teaching the people right from wrong, teaching the people God's words, and telling them, okay, well, you did this, but you should have done that, or what have you. But still, the people have a responsibility to go to God themselves. We say in the Christian church that God has sons. If you're a Christian, you're a son of God or a daughter of God. But your children need to be saved themselves, because God has no grandchildren. and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But in verse 9 it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I have come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. As I said, the people to this day, the Jews to this day, reverence Moses and respect Moses. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God calls his ministers, and God expects us to respect them. When a man is truly called of God, God is speaking through him, just as we see in this chapter, chapter 19 of Exodus. God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people, and it was evident that God was speaking through Moses. Later on in the historical narrative, we'll see that Moses' sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron, withstood him and said, No, we want to do it this way. Later on, a couple of books later, we'll read about the Korah rebellion, where they said, No, we don't want Moses' leadership. We want to do it our way. God can speak through us, they said. Well, apparently God had a different idea, because the ground opened up, and all of the people in that rebellion, Korah, every one of his children, etc., all of his relatives, fell into the ground, and the ground closed back up, and that was the end of the Korah rebellion. And someone would say, What's all of this about? Why set Moses above the people? Why put down a rebellion by opening the earth and letting people fall in and die? Why the warnings? In the next chapter, chapter 20, God gives his Ten Commandments. And they are the bedrock of our faith. Not that we should try to go around keeping them, although it's certainly wise to refrain from committing murder. When we get to that chapter, we'll study these questions in depth. But in this chapter here in verse 19, God is preparing the people to hear and to receive the Ten Commandments. There's not but one way to be saved, we said that a bit ago, and that's through the man Jesus Christ. But there's only one book on planet Earth that is revealed truth, and that's the Holy Bible. The Quran is not God's word. The Gita, not God's word. Bardo Thodol, certainly not God's word. There's only one way to be saved, that's through Christ. And the book that tells us about Christ is the Holy Bible, and it's set apart from every other philosophy. And it's the only way to be saved, trusting in the book and coming to Christ. And so God elevates Moses. God elevates his ministers. God gives these warnings, because salvation is a life or death matter. The only reason why Christ came to this earth, he did many things, but the only reason why he came was to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die. He calls his ministers, Moses in this case, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, what have you, in our case. Because this is the only message that works. It's the only one from God, and it's precious. And he says, How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that bring good news. God has invested a lot in this message. Now we're all kings and priests to God. We all have a personal responsibility. We all should go across the street to witness to our neighbor. But he sets those in the church to do the work of the ministry. God set them. God called them. God set them apart. God anoints them, lays his hand upon them to do the work of the ministry. These are men that God chose. I know that there are those that were sent and those that just went. We're not talking about those that just said, I want to do it myself. I think this is a good thing. I want to preach the gospel. We're not talking about those. We're talking about those that God himself called and revealed himself to and put in the ministry. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the greatest message on planet Earth. And he intends for us to be about the Father's business. Now to finish out this chapter, the next chapter, chapter 20, God gives the law. But in preparation for that, God comes down and reveals himself to the people. Moses speaks to God. God answers Moses by a voice, and all the people heard it. But starting in verse 10, God gives Moses instructions and says to go tell the people. And he says to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart, to refrain from sin, certainly. But he says to wash their clothes. Moses later on says to the men, don't come at your wives, or don't make love to your wives for a couple of days. To sanctify themselves. And verse 11, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And we see this. We see the mountain of God. Smoke descends upon it, fire descends upon it, lightning, thunder, earthquake. And it says an exceedingly loud trumpet, which is a symbol of the gospel call. God reveals himself, maybe not in an earthquake today, but in the heart, God reveals himself. During the preaching of a sermon, God will reveal himself. When reading the Word of God, perhaps someone picks it up and reads, he will reveal himself. And that gospel call goes out. But God makes himself known to the people. He reveals himself. Thunder and lightning, thick cloud, what have you. Moses speaks to God, and God answers by a voice. But while Moses is on the mountain, God reminds him to go back down and to tell the people to be careful. There's a separation, a bound set, he said. God had said, don't set foot on the mountain, otherwise you'll be consumed. By my holiness, you'll be consumed. And God reminds Moses, go down and tell the people. Now, God wants us to approach him. God wants us to come to him. John 3:16 tells of God's love and says that we should believe on God and to come to him. But we need to come God's prescribed way. We need to come through the cross. And he set a bound otherwise. And if you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. And again, this chapter shows us the ministry. Shows us the holiness of God. Shows us the only way to be saved. Shows us that we should all have a relationship with God. But shows us the way to God. And that is through Christ. And the message of the gospel and we must remember to keep God holy in our hearts and in our eyes, to sanctify ourselves, and to do things in the Spirit, and not rely upon our own understanding, and to end up doing things in the flesh. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.